This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Monday, June 17th, 2019, I don't want to belabor this, but I think we should probably play the Wes Clark clip just briefly. And, you know, before we do that, I always mention the 4 TV clip. You know, when he did that Commonwealth Club talk, what was it, 7 months after the Democracy Now! Interview, which is the clip everyone plays. Multitasking, sorry. But the one that you want, and it's interesting that since then 4 TV has been disbanded. It's, you can't because they used to have the transcript there, and you could send people things queued to timestamp. You can do that on YouTube, but it was, you know, it's interesting to have the transcript. It has more credibility than if you send someone, you know, conspiracyblog.com or whatever. 4 TV is, that was the source, and it was, they were the publisher of the content, so can't do that anymore. Anyway, this is what Wes Clark said and wrote about. You know, we will play a couple of minutes of this or so. It's probably good for posterity's sake. Go ahead, please.
Piece of paper off his desk. He said, "I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office. It says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in 7 countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran." I said, 7 countries in 5 years. I said, "Is that a classified memo?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, don't show it to me." He was about to show it to me. He said, "Because I want to talk about it." And I sat on this information for a long time, for about 6 or 8 months. I was so stunned by this, I couldn't begin to talk about it. And I couldn't believe it would really be true, but that's actually what happened. These people took control of the policy in the United States. And I realized then, it came back to me, a 1991 meeting I had with Paul Wolfowitz. You know, in 2001 he was Deputy Secretary of Defense, but in 1991 he was the Under Secretary of Defense for Policy. It's the number 3 position in the Pentagon. And I had gone to see him when I was a 1-star general. I was commanding the National Training Center. I had met him one time. He said, "If you ever get to Washington, come look me up." They always say that. Well, I was there in Washington. It was a Friday afternoon. I'd visited Colin Powell. He'd given me 5 minutes of his precious time and sent me on my way, and I was bored in the Pentagon, and I thought, I'll just go. Who can I see? I think I'll see Wolfowitz. So I called, and up there he was available. Scooter Libby came to the door. I met Scooter for the first time, and he brought me in, and I said, to Paul, I said, and this is 1991, I said, Mr. Secretary, you must be pretty happy with the performance of the troops in Desert Storm. And he said, well, yeah, he said, but not really, he said, because the truth is we should have gotten rid of Saddam Hussein, and we didn't. And this was just after the Shia uprising in March of 91, which we had provoked, and then we kept our troops on the sidelines and didn't intervene. And he said, but one thing we did learn, he said, we learned that we can use our military in the region, in the Middle East, and the Soviets won't stop us. He said, and we've got about 5 or 10 years to clean up those old Soviet client regimes, Syria, Iran, Iraq, before the next great superpower comes on to challenge us. And it was like, you know, I'm coming out of the Mojave Desert. I've been training troops. I haven't been thinking geostrategy for some time. And suddenly a guy just sort of shoves this nugget at you. Well, you remember it. It was a pretty stunning thing. You mean the purpose of the military is to start wars and change governments? It's not to sort of deter conflict? We're going to invade countries? And, I you know, my mind was spinning. And I put that aside. It was like a nugget that you hold on to. This country was taken over by a group of people with a policy coup. Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you could name a half dozen other collaborators from the Project for a New American Century. They wanted us to destabilize the Middle East, turn it upside down, make it under our control. It went back to those comments in 1991. Now, did anybody ever tell you that?
There you go.
Was there a...
And there's so much more. Again, I don't want to belabor this. You know, there's... I mean, where do you draw the line? So, the, you know, Greater Israel, Greater Middle East, you know, the Yanan Plan, which is synonymous with the Wolfowitz Doctrine, which Wes Clark just outlined there, you know, like I've mentioned, the Office of Special Plans created by Wolfowitz and Douglas Faith, headed by Faith, you know, and Rummy to Stovepipe W, Raw Intel, and as the Wikipedia entry points out, for the Office of Special Plans, a similar unit called the Iranian Directorate was created several years later in 2006 to deal with intelligence on Iran, which is why I think the timing of Sam Gardner's remarks with Wolf Blitzer back in 2006 were interesting. You know, it was a provocative, you know, eyebrow raising coincidence. Anyway, so you have those things. You have, he mentions geostrategy, Halford Mackinder, and the geographical pivot of history, the Grand Zbigniew Brzezinski's Grand Chessboard, talking about the same region, and, you know, all of this fun stuff. So you have all of these things that, you know, in the land of foreign policy, and essentially people playing God, people don't really realize, and all of the evidence seems, again, these days to kind of point itself in that direction, and there's really no evidence to the contrary that I am aware of. And again, you know, you look at other facts of history. Any book that William Bloom has written, for example, among many other authors, but, you know, speaking of color revolution and those kinds of efforts, America's Deadliest Export, Democracy, Rogue State, Killing Hope is, I think, the one that I usually refer to most often. U.S. military and CIA intervention since World War II. You know, even the Rand Corporation glibly refers to it as nation building. They have their whole nation-building series, and of course, the one that I refer to most disdainfully is The Beginner's Guide to Nation Building. Beginner's Guide to Nation Building. That sounds pretty glib to me. So, you know, killing hope. You go to Wikipedia, you can find foreign policy of the United States. There's a section dedicated to covert actions, and that's just one. Main articles, United States involvement in regime change, and history of the Central Intelligence Agency, clandestine, human, and covert action. So, you know, 19th century interventions, World War One and interwar period, World War Two and aftermath, and then, of course, the Cold War era. And, you know, then, I mean, so before the turn of the 20th century, not much. Turn of the 20th century, a little bit. And like I said earlier, particularly after the, you know, creation of the NME, the National Military Establishment, as it was originally known, which I don't think is an accidental acronym by any means. Passage of the National Security Act of 1947 creates the NME, the National Military Establishment. And the next thing you know, the world has all of these fun things that it's dealing with that basically the kings of the earth or the people who want to play God use the unwitting masses to accomplish their evil deeds, conscripting otherwise good, well-meaning, well-intentioned folks to the devil's errands. So the World War II and aftermath section, Cold War era section of the United States involvement in regime change, Wikipedia entry is replete with entries. Even, you know, going forward to the modern era, and they're not all in here. I mean, but, you know, many of them are. So into the 2000s, for example, Yugoslavia, Iraq, Iran, Palestinian territories, Syria, Libya, Yemen. And as interesting as you look at this list, it seems to correspond directly with Wes Clark's intimations that we just heard. Isn't that funny? The Wolfowitz Doctrine, Greater Israel, Greater Middle East, and these echoes of history. Again, you know, Halford Mackinder's geographical pivot of history, Brzezinski's grand chessboard, and this common thread that just is—it's always unbroken. But there are weird nuances occasionally, and I think I'll leave it at this: the blacklisted news coverage of Syhurst, you know, George H.W. Bush team leaked to media to reveal CIA's Iran-Contra affair. And that was published January of this year, 2019. Referring to Syhurst's piece in the London Review of Books, the vice president's men, challenging the Mehdi Hashemi version of the Iran-Contra affair leak. This excerpt reminds me of something else that I'll mention in a second. So from the blacklisted news piece, if Hirsch's anonymous source is correct, which I have no reason to doubt, the Iranian Mehdi Hashemi did not leak the issue. It was bureaucratic infighting between a former CIA director who continued to run secret operations, that would be HW, and a sitting one, that would be William Casey, who was deemed incompetent by the former, that led to the disclosure of the Iran-Contra affair. And then, so what happened afterward? What happened to H.W. Bush? What happened to William Casey? I think that's kind of telling. Just as a point of, I mean, speculation on my part, it's conjectural, but interesting. So that reminds me of something else I've talked about from the administrative state, the progressive architect era. A piece you can find published back in, what was that? Published a while back in 1995. The Brownlow-Brookings feud, the politics of dissent within the academic community, is a very interesting study on these sort of when there's infighting, when there's an internal conflict among the, you know, those who fancy themselves the Council of the Gods, essentially. By the way, did you hear that Bayer is going to invest, what, $5.6 billion or something like that, 6.5, whatever it is, in Roundup Alternatives? I'm sure it's much better. What I would imagine is that what they want to put out is they've already created it. It's already they've stockpiled it, I'm sure, and basically the billions will be applied to PR campaigns. It'll come down to fabricating studies and buying people off in the same fashion that we've seen to tell us that these things are safe for the next 25 or 30 years. It's been done with Roundup and, you know, rinse and repeat. Hopefully we're not that gullible. So from the Brownlow-Brookings feud, Alistair Roberts wrote back in 1995 is an interesting piece. The extract, for those interested, reads, in January 1937, President Franklin Roosevelt submitted an ambitious plan for administrative reform on the national government to Congress. Roosevelt's reorganization, sometimes things don't make sense, and so you wonder, you know, like the Iran-Contra leak. I would tend to believe that Cy Hirsch's version, I think that tends more in the direction of what actually happened, but that probably is another layer of the onion. Who knows? So in January 1937, President Franklin Roosevelt submitted an ambitious plan, but was it his, rhetorically I ask, for administrative reform, you know, the progressive era administrative architects, administrative fourth branch. An ambitious plan for administrative reform of the national government to Congress. Roosevelt's reorganization bill was based on a report produced by the President's Committee on Administrative Management. Remember, this was the same report that was cited by Senator McCarran in the passage of the Administrative Procedure Act in 1946. Surreptitious justification for things, you know, a haphazard collection of irresponsible agencies, blah, blah, blah. The bill was based on a report produced by the President's Committee on Administrative Management, a panel of three, quote unquote, specialists in public administration. They said that the administration of government was agnostic. Appointed by Roosevelt in March 1936 and led by Lewis Brownlow, who was perhaps the best known expert in the field. Speaking of technocrats, the Brownlow recommendations produced intense debate in Congress, and the reorganization proposals were ultimately defeated in March 1938 in what historian William Luchtenberg has described as, quote, the worst rebuff Roosevelt was ever to suffer, end quote, in his 12 years as president. The public aspects of the battle over the Brownlow proposals have already received extensive scholarly attention. Some of the most important skirmishes in this battle, however, were not fought in public, and even after a half century, they remain largely obscured from public view. One such skirmish was the contest within the academic community about the recommendations on administrative reform that were to be put before Congress. And it's actually a fascinating discussion in my humble opinion, the internal conflicts that emerge that sort of explain the otherwise unexplainable, certainly to the public. So, I mean, I think of those kinds of things in moments like these, you know, getting back to what we were talking about, just to sort of conclude what I'm saying and what I mean, you know, thinking of the stovepiping of intelligence and you know, the Iranian directorate created the stovepipe intelligence, and all of these echoes that we've seen reverberating, particularly in the, well, since the Gulf One era, even back to the 70s, one has to wonder, why does why does the situation persist and things have not escalated to the level that we have been presumed to assume it will? We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Last thing I think I will say on this is, there are curious echoes. Another curious echo is the new Silk Road route and the way that certain actors or players are vilified, good cop, bad cop, but they're same team, basically, or, in another context, perhaps a WWE president. So Russia, China, Iran are vilified in the Western press, typically, sort of categorically. And it's interesting, if you do a search for New Silk Road, China, Russia, Iran, you find some fun things. I've mentioned, for instance, when we talk about the New Silk Road. It's becoming common knowledge. China's interest and role is, I think the last time I mentioned the World Economic Forum article from 2017 titled China's $900 billion New Silk Road, What You Need to Know. And that was an interesting piece. But this is, you know, on the Belt and Road Action Plan, something they link from China Daily. At least in 2015, the initiative will encompass land routes, the belt, and maritime routes, the road. And so, you know, you look at the areas it passes through, and it's kind of telling, I think, in the context of this discussion. Obviously, Iran is an integral part of the belt and road, I suppose. But primarily the belt. Speaking of the land routes. So you have that. You have that discussion. But one, for those interested, something that I thought was interesting from another one of those echoes of history, from the Real News Network back in 2009, 10 years ago, speaking of the Silk Road conversation, Pepe Escobar did a series. It's kind of interesting. Over at the Real News Network, Iran, China, and the New Silk Road. And it's just, you know, something that has been known for quite some time. And what's interesting is, you know, you look at some of the comments, for example, and you go back a few years, comments 8, 9, 10 years ago, great commentary, you know, coming forward a few years, comments that basically vilify Pepe Escobar, but then from there coming forward, this issue suddenly comes back into the headlines and he doesn't seem quite so dense after all. So it's just interesting, you know, again, the forming of public perception through propaganda and various other means, you know, cybernetic totalist environment. What can you believe? What can we rely on? And again, you know, you think of the Orwellian concept of revisionist history: who controls the present, controls the past; who controls the past, controls the future. And if you can reshape someone's perception of history, even over the course of a few years, then you can keep doing these things. Again, you know, like I said in the last segment, sort of rinse and repeat. It worked before, why won't it work again? And we see those echoes. But if we're not familiar with all of these plans, particularly over the course of the 20th century, then we won't see those things that guys like Ray Kurzweil want to target and destroy. Most notably, visual pattern recognition and long-term memory. You know, from Chapter 11, 2029 of Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines. We could augment or replace those functions of the brain, remember? Visual pattern recognition and long-term memory. Why would you want to augment or replace those regions of the brain specifically? I ask rhetorically. So to understand, to recognize, understand the lessons of history, the echoes of history that continue to reverberate, I think is important. And it's getting more and more difficult with the censorship, both online and offline. You're not supposed to be able to talk about things. I might touch on that for a second when we come back, because it is overwhelming. You know, it really is. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, June 17, 2019. It's a busy time. Summer's around the corner. Hopefully it's an uneventful week, if you know what I mean. It's already been a busy year. The weather has been ridiculous. But this, you know, kind of the ripple effect of the Iran situation, you know, tanker attack, Gulf of Oman incident. I need to find that article. I want to say it was a Reuters article, but the one that I found that I read seems to have been completely revised and largely redacted from the original, if I remember correctly. What I read was very informative, and nothing that I have found since then really rises to that level. The fact that, you know, anyone who is paying attention maybe it was the Fox News story. I think it might have been. Anyway, if you are judging from the echoes of history, yeah, it might have been. Judging from the echoes of history, you really can't believe anything that comes out of the State Department. Or if you're going to believe anything, you believe the opposite. Let's see. The area of explosions is near the Strait of Hormuz, a strategic route through which 20% of global oil consumption passes from Middle East producers. I mean, again, you have greater Israel, greater Middle East, New Silk Road, and no, this isn't the story. Yeah. Anyway, I'll find that article. So what is interesting to me, you know, similar along parallel lines of the experience that I had over the last month, is when you're seeing things, and, you know, I think it was Thursday's broadcast, James in Washington mentioned a similar experience with his father-in-law. He said, you know, a guy whose life's work basically proves to anyone paying attention what his ideological leaning would be in questions of medical treatment, to put it in my words. You know, you see these things happen and the volume of evidence points one way, and yet you get a story from CNN, and that's what Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote about in Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. He talked about back in the 70s how a time was coming that if, you know, even if it happened in someone's front yard, if they didn't hear about it on the 6 o'clock news, they wouldn't believe it, and vice versa. You know, it didn't happen in your front yard, but the 6 o'clock news says it did, so therefore it must have happened. I just blinked or something and missed it. Don't believe your lying eyes. And we're there, and we see so many stories. I don't understand the psychological aspect of. I just saw another deepfakes article recently. What was it? It was the Obama thing, right? It was just another one of those fakes, high profile fakery. So you have that. You have, you know, again, Mike Pompeo admitting, you know, as Glenn pointed out, the one of the admitted liars, confessed liars at Texas A&M a couple months ago. How can anyone, if you did that, if I did that, I dare say we would have no credibility, probably for years to come, if ever. Yet, you know, the head of the U.S. State Department, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, confesses to heading up an organization built on lies, you know, institutionalizing lying and as a profession, tradecraft, and all of that fun stuff. It's just shocking. And then we're supposed to believe anything he says? I can't believe it. But that actually happens, and it does. And what's even more astonishing, the point I was going to make, is that happens, and you can still find him saying what he said. We played the clip earlier on YouTube, the State Department, and all over the place. You know, folks obviously got a hold of that and were, you know, it went viral, you could say. And yet, you can have a conversation with someone at the coffee pot or the water cooler and say, you know, when the State Department issues a statement and says, well, here's what's going on, and, you know, you say, yeah, but what can you believe from the State Department? I mean, first of all, this U.S. State Department has a long history of lying, fomenting conflict, color revolution, all kinds of bad things. Mike Pompeo just said what he said a couple of months ago. What can you believe from Mike Pompeo and the State Department? People will challenge that. I mean, and not based on anything other than some kind of propaganda and rhetoric they have heard, who, as a friend of mine used to put it, feed their mouth. Mindless, vacuous statements, unfounded, based entirely on propaganda and rhetoric. And gosh, it is so disheartening to think that so much of what I believe was arguably in many ways once a great nation of great people and you know, the rugged individualist, self-determined American to whatever degree, you know, humble, not arrogant, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, has suddenly become reduced to the servile, mindless sycophant or automaton. You know, reminds me of Edmund Burke's words again. I mean, that to me is the sentiment that should reverberate throughout our history and always in our DNA. That was 1770, those remarks I read earlier from Edmund Burke, which to me is right in that era, you know, the spirit of 1764 or 65, so to speak. John Adams talking about James Otis and defending everyone. And we have seen in our own history how certain people groups have been crushed on our own shores. And now, since the turn of the 20th century, the rugged, individualist, self-determined American is being crushed, you know, and everyone's being subsumed by the Borg. It seems. Maybe that's too cynical, but it's difficult. I'm sure you know what I mean. You try to have a conversation with people and nothing intelligent is said by most. It's just rhetoric. It's regurgitated rhetoric that someone saw in the last 24 hours, the news cycle. Nothing about this incident really adds up. You know, if it was, as the Japanese speculated, if it was something in the water, then how did what was in the water manage to get 6 feet above the waterline? And so on and so on. The mines, the piece that I read, the person, the author of the article did a good job of pointing out that the mines are used by just about every military on Earth. So How can you clearly establish from whence, and perhaps more importantly, how can you clearly establish it wasn't a false flag incident? It's interesting that you have guys like Patrick Clausen who tell us this is how every major conflict arises. This is how we get into conflicts. So, you know, if the Iranians aren't going to compromise, and if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if someone else started the war. Really? And how do those wars start? False flag incidents, surreptitious incidents, you know, Gulf of Tonkin incidents that are fabricated, to say the least. So, you know, this should be common knowledge in America. And to me, I don't know, you know, if there was a moment we could point to specifically. I'm sure there are several. If we got together, we could talk and we would all identify certain moments as pivotal. I would probably go back to, again, Thomas McNeice's words from his report to the Rees Committee. You know, the revolution he talked about, and, you know, that an overwhelming consent of the majority could not have been garnered with unless education had been prepared in advance to endorse it, as McNeice put it. And, you know, all of these tax-exempt foundations that have been working in this direction. And the one thing I was going to say, speaking of the Silk Road, you know, China, Russia, Iran being vilified, is for those who bought into the Cold War, you know, Anthony Sutton's work obviously is instrumental. But, you know, you think of folks like David Rockefeller having landing strips in Russia and China, talking to the Russians and the Chinese throughout these periods of perceived intense conflict, only to see that, you know, certain agreements and deals and memorandums of understanding and agreement emerge somehow in the midst of this conflict. You might argue in one sense it's a great way to get people to look away. Oh my goodness, they're our enemy. You shouldn't, you know, again, it's the vilification of an entire people group. For what purpose, and qui bono, who benefits? But, you know, Iran is being vilified in similar fashion, has been, you know, ad infinitum. So, and as certain folks have pointed out, probably most notably Brennan O'Connell, Iran is not the is more of a covert ally to establishment power than anything else, less of an enemy, more of an ally. Again, that's why I say, you know, Russia, China, Iran, so anyway, back to the point, though. The point is, you know, if we could have an intelligent discussion like I hope we do on this broadcast, that would be one thing. But I know how difficult it is to talk to folks, you know. The intrigue, I mean, just layers and layers of intrigue. Without some sort of lay of the land, how can one really make any sort of intelligent assessment? Not that any of us really want to, per se. I think there's an argument to be made that if we step away from all of that, like Jim was saying earlier in today's broadcast, the first hour, I think, better off for it. You know, and that's what Jefferson said, the man who reads nothing is better informed than the man who reads newspapers alone, and he's less propagandized for that matter. So if the machinations of those who would fancy themselves kings of the earth or gods requires public buy-in, then maybe it's time to step away from some of that. Somehow Jim has managed to survive without the influence of, you know, social media and television and so forth. Maybe we would all do well to maybe step away from some of that and grab a book or two and maybe do, you know, after our reading, do what Coleman advertised. You know, I appreciated that camping commercial by Coleman, the original social network, and people just sitting around a campfire, you know, so we could maybe read and commiserate around a campfire. That sounds like fun. Speaking of summer, a lot of people camp during summer, and that would be great. My humble estimation. So anyway, we will undoubtedly return to this subject matter. Maybe I can find that article. I can't seem to find. We can talk about that too. But before I run away from it, I do want to finish, you know, the final point or 2 points about the experience that I had over the last month or so. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines. Reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer,
that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. It's the magician's scarf. You pull on a thread and so much comes out. You know, just the swatches never end. Oh, gosh, what's his name? So many names floating around in my head, you know. To conclude, man. So, it'll come to me in a second. The echoes of history. I mentioned Joe Wilson. Wikipedia states Joe Wilson is a former United States diplomat best known for his 2002 trip to Niger to investigate allegations that Saddam Hussein was attempting to purchase yellowcake uranium. His New York Times op-ed piece, What I Didn't Find in Africa, and the subsequent leaking of information pertaining to the identity of his wife, Valerie Plame, as a CIA agent. He is the CEO of a consulting firm he founded, J.C. Wilson International Ventures, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so after that fateful journey, Joe Wilson published his book, The Politics of Truth, Inside the Lies That Led to War and Betrayed My Wife's CIA Identity, A Diplomat's Memoir. That was published back in 2004, The Politics of Truth. And you fast forward to 2016, Oxford English Dictionary, Word of the Year is post-truth. And then we have the synonymous term post-truth politics, which is a political culture. Wikipedia defines as a political culture in which debate is framed largely by appeals to emotion, disconnected from the details of policy, and by the repeated assertion of talking points to which factual rebuttals are ignored. Post-truth differs from traditional contesting and falsifying of facts by relegating facts and expert opinions to be of secondary importance relative to appeal to emotion. And so really that sort of, to me, is the quintessential difficulty we face in America today. Regardless of what Oxford English Dictionary declares as the word of the year, this is the culture that is so, to me, rampant and pervasive in America today. And it is a sickness, really. It's an epidemic. And so, you know, again, in the spirit of Edmund Burke's words that I mentioned earlier, hopefully we can seek to remedy that disease and apply the proper antiseptic. And you know, hopefully this broadcast works in the spirit of that effort. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the